Libby Purvis, Yachting Monthly, January 2011. Let me begin by saying that I revere the RNLI. I have rattled tins for it and once knocked on doors in Kensington. Very exciting that in one posh flat, a government minister who'd just been in a sex scandal came to the door wearing nothing but a bath towel. Really, there was nowhere I could stick his lifeboat sticker without being drawn into another one. I have done a charity book for it, I have made speeches, I have written repeatedly about how wonderful it is that such a sea rescue body should be funded entirely and voluntarily by public contributions. I once served on its media advisory committee. I revere also the lifeboatman's culture of never, or hardly ever, uttering criticisms of those they save, unlike the pious Coast Guard spokesman. Yes, I love the RNLI, we all do. So it is in the spirit of a candid friend that I clear my throat and utter an apologetic warning. For it is important that we all go on loving the RNLI, especially those of us who use the sea, because we are highly likely to rattle tins, hold fundraising club dinners and leave it legacies. So it is dangerously bad policy to go round annoying us for no good result. The institution's recent excursions into preventive safety, as against its basic role of rescue, have been welcome. Sea Check is a good initiative, and public education on leaflets, signs and so forth is a reasonable, if minor, way for it to spend its money. However, once you get preventative, there is a powerful risk that you also get bossy. First rumblings came from a journalist, young, male, fit, who says that the lifeguards on a National Trust beach in Pembrokeshire have ruined it, not only with a semi-permanent RNLI hut and huge flags and signs, but by roaring around noisily on four-wheeled quad bikes and on one occasion rudely ordering him out of the water at a spot where he swims since childhood. He had no objection to the warnings, even the verbal ones. There are indeed many unwater-wise people who get into trouble every year. It was just the tone, the assumption of righteous, if illicit, power. Again, go to the YM message boards to taste the fury which followed the account of a chap in Dartmouth who came ashore in a rib from his mooring in the river without a life jacket. It's legal in the UK, though not in Ireland. He was accosted by an RNLI chap, I suspect not a lifeboatman, asking why he didn't wear one, and then lectured in an accusatory fashion about cold water hazard. The writer claims 25 safe years of boating and he didn't like the tone. Following this fairly mild posting, the board sprang into life with some mild endorsement of the usefulness of life jackets, but within days was overwhelmed with rage, degenerating into cries of prat, fascist and worse. There was a sense of a line having been crossed, a freedom challenged. There were one or two slightly iffy arguments. One said that the fact the guy was driving a rib should have indicated that he knew what he was doing, but come on, any fool can buy a rib, very many do. But the core resentment was palpable and understandable. We go to sea in little boats partly because we want to take responsibility for ourselves in an over-nannied world and taste the satisfaction of making serious, practical decisions. And sometimes, frankly, the decision is that it's a calm day, a short row ashore, little current running, and that we really don't want to carry our life jacket round the shops, and that if we die as a result, that's our lookout. In Ireland, we knuckle under because life jackets are the law, even for small trips. I once just swam to and from the boat, foiling the system entirely. But think what you choose about life jackets, beach behaviour and the rest. The simple point remains that if the RNLI goes much further down this avenue, becoming known more as a nag than a heroic saviour, it is running onto a reef. If it does not warn its people to take great, great care who they accost, when and how, it may lose quite a lot of useful friends. And that really would be tragic.